Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, welcome back, or welcome to Mentors Today. Ileana is not in Guadalajara today. Where are you? Where is Waldo? Where are you? Carmen San Diego?
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm like very aligned to you because I'm in Baja California Sur, so right now at my hometown at La Paz.
West Coast is in the house.
Yes. We are not that far than the other day.
Although it's always super weird. We have a 1 hour time difference, which I always find is kind of weird. But
yeah,
I don't get that part, but it's okay. So yes. it's always nice to know you're on the same coast as me.
Yeah, the West Coast.
Speaking of West Coast, we've got a cool kind of, let's call it a crossover guest today, which will be kind of cool. So we're going to talk a lot more about what that means. So why don't you tell us and tell our audience all about our cool guest today?
Of course. So today we are joined by Iram Altamirano. He right now is a co-founder and CMO of MIFFANS. He's a born dot connector and creator in many ways. Iram is the modern face of an increasingly multicultural California and United States. He is the face of the million of young Latinos building bridges across the Americas where they connect to different parts of their histories. With deep roots in Mexico and Los Angeles from young age, Iram has leaned into his own artistic talent, songwriting, performing, and music videos. He was a creator in the music industry long before that word would become commonplace. He worked most of his adult life either creating or supporting other creative artists and business builders. Currently, he is the co-founder of MIFFANS, a venture-backed, LATAM-focused platform for creators. In years prior, has grown business in a variety of industries, with creativity in their core. He was co-owner of a popular restaurant in Tulum, Mexico, named #Poke. Founder of an LA-based creative agency, Black Canvas, co-owner of Cool Human Studios, and former songwriter and video producer. So, Iram, welcome to Mentors Today. We are super happy to have you here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that intro. It's very beautiful. It made me have like the chills, you know, it gave me the chills. Thank you very much. It's nice to be here with you guys.
So you're joining us for our guests who can't see us. He's sporting a Dodgers hat. So he's a proud LA guy.
Yes.
he's sporting a Dodgers hat, but he's sitting in Mexico City, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I'm in Mexico City at the moment. But LA is always going to be home. LA is home to me. You know, like, I have so many experiences. It's just a city that I really, really love. It has taught me a lot. And now I'm happy to bring all the knowledge to Latin entrepreneurs and Latin creators, you know, and things that I've learned, because LA is really an amazing place for creativity and also for ideas. You know, it's a melting pot. And I appreciate that about LA.
So we're super stoked to have you. I want to kick this off today with something you just started to talk about in your own reaction to your intro, right? So we live in a really nomadic world nowadays. I participated in that in the last 6-7 years of my life. That's how Ileana and I became friends and met each other in of all places, Santiago, Chile. But I want to hear from you because you're living it like on a daily basis. Currently, as a young guy, building businesses, you got your hands in different businesses. What is it? What's this, the word I would use, like duality? What is it like being this proud Mexicano? You know, you have roots and a home base in Ciudad de Mexico, but then you're also, as you just said, you're this proud Angelino Californian who has such roots and love for Los Angeles. Like, are you really ever home?
Wow, that's an amazing question, and it's hard to answer, you know, because I feel like as humans, we always look for a place to call home, but home can be multiple places, you know. I love Mexico City, even though I have a very traumatic event here that I had to go to therapy for, you know, to make it a better experience for me. Well, this is my roots, you know, like Mexico City, I was born here. And they took me to LA when I was 8 years old, you know. But it's so hard and so beautiful at the same time, because I feel like I don't belong to Mexico or the US. But at the same time, there's other side where I feel like, wow, I belong to both places. So it's like a battle, you know. And sometimes it can be hard, but it can be beautiful, you know? So I feel like I move a lot because I want to feel home, and home is LA and is Mexico.
Okay.
Okay. And where is your family? Your family, it's all based in LA?
Yeah. So my family from my mom's side is in LA, and my dad's side is they're all in Mexico City. They work for the government.
Oh, okay.
And they always like kept like being in Mexico City, working for the government. And that was it, you know? And on the other hand, my mom's family side, they decided to move to the U.S. as immigrants, you know? And now they're there, you know? Like only one of my uncles is in Riviera Maya. But other than that, like all the families in L.A.
Okay. So you shared it. You teased it. I'll ask about it. You can talk about it as little or as much as you'd like, obviously. I don't want to make you uncomfortable, obviously. But
yes,
there was a traumatic event when you were a kid.
Correct.
That caused the family, at least in parts, to say, wait a minute. Okay, we've got to get out of this place for now, at least.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit? Tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yeah. So I was kidnapped at the age of 5 years old. I was kidnapped for 8 months.
What?
Yeah. So my grandma sent me to the store to buy matches because, I remember I was watching the cartoons and she was like, oh, can you go buy me some matches? She gave me 1 peso. And in Mexico, like you have little stores next to the houses, right? She was like, it's pretty safe. I mean, literally, she's our neighbor. He's going to go buy matches. And when I was paying like the 1 peso, I remember I was going over the counter. Someone came behind my back, covered my eyes, and put me in the car. And they took me. I was gone for 8 months. And my mom had me when she was very young. She was 18 years old when she had me. So she was around like 23 years old. She had no money. My grandma had no money. She had to sleep on the buses. She was walking on the streets for 6 months looking for me until she really had to reach out to my dad to look for help, you know, and I came out on TV, newspapers, and they were able to find me. But yeah, so that's why I was mentioning, like, even though I had a very traumatic event in Mexico City, it's still home, you know? And I knew I had to grow, and I knew I had to take therapy for the past 2 years to heal, to really, I mean, make my subconscious mind understand that I'm not in danger and I'm okay, you know? And I can, and that's my story. And that's why, like, I want to help people understand that even though if they have traumatic events, they can still go on with their life. They can do amazing things, you know? We can change the world.
Wow, I can't be, well, wow, it's shocking. Do you remember, like stuff?
Yeah, I remember everything. So basically what they did is they put me in a car and they put me in a dark room full of furniture. Okay. No one knew where I was. You know, they took me to Estado de Mexico, which is a state of Mexico. And these people, they used to be like, they used to steal like things at the store. So there's a store in Mexico called Sabors, which is like a JCPenney. And they used to go into the stores and they basically like treated me like their kid, you know? And they used to take me to the stores and they used to put me in front of them. And they
they literally kidnapped you in part to like use you as a prop.
Exactly.
In their like little criminal network.
Exactly. In their operation.
So they needed a kid as a prop.
Yeah.
And they, because that would make them look like less suspect. So you became like a toy in their game.
Literally.
Aside from the fact that you were like literally your own human.
Yeah. And I was very little, you know, I can remember everything. Yeah, so they used to take me out to the stores to rob stores. I mean, I was not the robbery, you know? I was not the robber.
Even if you had been, it wouldn't have been your fault. Like, you had no choice, right?
Yeah, I'm just here.
Yeah, so they used to take me, and then, like, they used to bring me back to their house, put me in a dark room, take me out to eat. I was like a little pet, to be honest, you know? So, yeah, so I went through that. Finally, my mom decided, I mean, like I told you, she was walking on the streets of Mexico for 6 months to try and find me, you know? It was really hard because my uncles were helping her financially. But yeah, she was able to really find me. And guess what? You're not going to believe this. They brainwashed me so much because I was a little kid into thinking that my mom was a bad person. And they were like, no, you got to tell people that your mom used to hate you and blah, blah, you know? And so I started to believe that idea that my mom was a bad person.
You were programmed.
Yeah. So when I got back with my mom, I felt weird, you know, because I was like, wow, my mom is a bad person.
Sure.
You know, so that's why it's so important how we talk to young kids. And to the little ones, we have to be careful, you know, because a lot of people, and maybe like back then there was not a lot of information, but it's so important, like the information that we put in our kids, you know, and any little kid, because you don't know how it's going to impact their brain and their life in 20 years, you know, which is what happened to me. I'm going to tell you what happened. I came back to Mexico City and I was dying of allergies.
Okay.
I was allergic to dust. Why? I started taking therapy and I noticed that my subconscious mind was doing like a trigger. You know, like if there's dust, your mind recognizes the dust, even though you're not paying attention to the dust. Exactly, you know? So what your mind does is it creates an alarm and it's like, wait a second, you're in Mexico City. That's where that happened. There's dust. Right.
There was dust in the space that you were in or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Where's your mom?
Wow. You know?
So you go into survival mode. You know, and you start developing those allergies. But thankfully and thank to God, I found a good therapist that was able to help me out. Yeah. But it's crazy, man.
How old are you now? I always forget. How old are you now?
I'm 31. I'm about to be 32 March 12th.
You got our same age.
For his birthday right there. We got that on air. So
there he is.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm so happy that right now you become like a best version of you. So thank you, Iram, for telling your story. And I want to go like forward into your entrepreneurial journey. I want to know more. How do you get into entrepreneurship? And did you were like surrounded by creators, musicians, artists, entrepreneurs? How do you end up building platforms or projects that has to do with the creative industry?
Yeah. So going back to when I was young, I started like doing businesses. I think it has to do with my mom because she used to sell food on the streets. And I was very little and I used to like go to work with her in the mornings and literally like sell tacos on the streets. And then in the afternoon, she used to take me to school. You know, so she really taught me that if you wanted something, I was not, I had to go get it. So I had to learn how to get my own money, right? So I think that really had to do a lot with when I went to the US and I started getting like little jobs as a sign person, you know, the ones that do the signs.
Yes.
I had to support my mom. I had to help my mom pay rent, you know, because she's an immigrant and she could barely afford like for us to have a place to live, you know? And I had to work all summers. I was very young. I remember I was like 14 years old. I started working at a factory. And they used to ship all the Subway containers of food, like tuna, vegetables, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when they say that it's fresh, it's not true.
No.
You know, so.
It's all a lie.
I used to do that all summer. And I used to get paid like $100 because I didn't have a social security or I didn't have anything. They were just giving me a job to help my mom pay the rent. And that was all my summers, like always working. And then I started to really look into other things. And then I started selling clothes. I started selling shoes. I was like working my way up. You know, my mom always taught me that I had to hustle to if I wanted something. I wanted to buy a basketball court. She was like, okay, you have to work, you know, because like I don't have money. And I was okay with it, you know. So I think that really helped me. So when I was growing up, I knew I loved music and I knew I loved to be creative. You know, I was always like a very a hyper person. And I was always looking into different ideas. And I remember that I used to tell my grandma like all these ideas and they used to happen. You know, like I remember like this is so random. I told my grandma once, I was like, oh, you know what, grandma, I would like to open a coffee shop in a shipping container. And I remember like a few years after that was happening, you know, and my grandma always told me, she was like, wow, you have so many ideas. You just need money. And that always stuck to me because I was like, maybe I do have great ideas. So I started like playing basketball and I really started to discover myself, to see what I really liked. And I noticed that what I liked, it was to be a creative person. But as a creative person, you need to look for an income. So I was like, how am I going to make an income? So I started doing music, and it happened to be, I don't know from where, that I was a really catchy songwriter. And I got a deal in Hollywood with one of my producers. I got a deal, and he was like, dude, you really have talent. You know, I want to sign you. And I was very young. So I started doing music.
Like how old? How old? Very young. How old?
I mean, I was in high school, like 15, 16 years.
Wow.
But I have one problem. I didn't have money to pay for the recording studio. So guess what I did? I was like, okay, I'm going to save all my money. I'm not going to spend money. And I'm going to start working like little jobs here and there. I'm going to put this money together and I'm going to go record a song. So when I recorded the first song, I went to the Top Value Market in Lenox, California. I was selling my CDs. I was like, I need to sell this song. And I used to tell people with a little CD player, I was like, look, this is me. I'm trying to do my career, blah, blah, right? And the money that they were giving me, I was using it to fund my own music business, right?
Wow.
But I had another issue. To be in the music industry, you need music videos. I had no money to shoot music videos. So I was like, okay, I have to learn how to shoot music videos.
And because it like at 15 or 16, you can't say, oh, cool, I'm just going to be a songwriter for other artists. Like,
exactly.
Because you know, like you have to basically create your own like content.
Yeah especially because
wow.
I had no support. I had no background. Like I didn't know anyone in the music industry. The only thing that I had was that I wanted to make it.
Yeah.
You know, that apparently
you had some talent.
Yeah, I was really passionate, and I'm very passionate about life, right? About changing my life, because I know that we are here, but we can live our best life. And that has been my passion, you know, to really be like, you know what? If I'm going to do music, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to try to make it the best. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to try to learn and make it the best.
Yeah, and you know, a little question here. So you were there. Did you went to school or something to learn? I mean, like, did you also learn music, or it was also everything autodidacta?
Yeah, I learned on my own.
Okay, wow.
So I was using YouTube. I was like, how do you write the best hit songs? And I started the formulas, you know? So I think like school has not been something that I'm passionate about.
Okay.
I don't think I'm a good fit for school because I'm very distracted. I get distracted with so many things that I like. So that brought me into thinking more of a business, that if you really wanted to do something, you needed money and you had to go get the money.
You were an entrepreneur. Like, you figured it out without having to go to any incubator or accelerator or anybody teach you. Like, literally, it was like, I have a product, your music, you put it on a CD, you go to the market, you sell it at the flea market to people because you've seen people do that before.
Yeah.
Some people give you money. You made money for your work. That's it. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and I was selling shoes, like whatever you can imagine. You know, I even got pulled over by the cops. They thought I was doing drugs, selling drugs,
right.
But I was
right.
Selling shoes to my friends, you know? So I think that has a lot to do with my entrepreneurship journal, that I always knew I wanted to have a better life. And I knew that I had no background, or I had no one to fall on, especially because my mom doesn't even own her own home. So she's in the same situation as I am.
Sure.
And I was like, I have to work three times. I mean, what my friends are doing, I have to do it three times harder because I had no social security. I had no papers. It was really hard because I knew I was talented and I knew I wanted to do better things. But I always got like the jobs that I didn't want to do. Like I didn't want to be a dishwasher. I did it. I didn't want to be a cook. They always tried to push me that route, and also my family, because that's what they know, and that's what they know.
Well, I think you said it before. It's part of it is just survival instinct, right?
Exactly.
Like, and then life becomes just survival as opposed to thriving, which you're clearly making a statement with your life, not just with your words, about you can manifest a thriving life. Like you have to do what you have to do. We all do at different points in our life, but you can endure and persist with the vision of yourself that is a different vision of yourself than maybe society would put you in. And correct. If you just literally don't give up on yourself, I mean, it sounds like cliche, but then all things become possible.
And that's the hardest thing, because we have a lot of doubts, you know? We like, sometimes the hardest thing is to believe in us. So that was another thing that I was battling. So I decided to, going back to the story, I decided to start like shooting my own music videos. And that led me to meeting a lot of people in the music industry, doing other things. And I noticed that music was a really big outlet for me, because I was going through so many problems in my house that my way to communicate was through music. And yeah. That's what really did it for me, because music, I met really important people, and that led me into another business and to doing other things. I started a marketing agency, doing and editing videos. So I've been trying to grow my skill set and not stick to one thing that I know how to do. So I'm always like constantly learning things, because I know that the world is moving so fast.
Who, you make it pretty clear, like growing up in a lot of ways, your mom inspired you, right? I mean, clearly, like unless I'm hearing a different story, right? Like your mom was inspiring to you. I assume she still does, right? I still assume she's still an inspiration to you. Who else inspires you today?
I inspire myself a lot.
Okay.
I think I'm one of the biggest assets that I have to polish, you know, and I feel like I am very thankful that I haven't given up, because being an entrepreneur is not easy. You go through a lot of ups and downs, man. You like, sometimes you have money, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have money to eat, sometimes you don't. You don't know if you're going to be able to pay rent, salaries. We go through so much stress that I'm so thankful and I'm so inspired by being a great person and by helping others. And I think that, Rob, you are that person too. I see myself in you.
Yeah.
You are something that I would like to be like. Even though I already like pay attention to the things that you do and the way you connect with people, I love that, because it's not only about asking for favors, it's about creating value in a relationship and creating value with people.
Yeah.
Because if you have that value, you're going to be always wealthy.
It's very kind of you to say. Thank you for that. I'll give credit to my dad. The lesson was, and Ileana's heard this 100 times probably in our years of friendship, but his philosophy was give, give, ask. Right? So we all have asks. We all have asks in our lives. We all have asks for favors, asks for opportunities, asks for help, whatever it might be, right? We all have needs. We all ask for things in our personal and professional lives. But his philosophy was just, you build relationships, give more than people expected, give more than people asked for, and then you ask, right? After you've earned that spot in that relationship. So that's
amen to that.
No, right? I was just going to say, I mean, amen to that. That's a Will Ferrell gif right there.
Yeah.
you and Ile would have been fast friends back then, because while you were an up-and-coming musician running around the streets of L.A., Ile was trying to become famous on MTV Latam in La Paz. So
you got to be proud of that.
And roughly the same age.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
and also, you know why I bring it up, Hiram? Because other than just to embarrass her, because it's fun to do that every once in a while. but also because she is super creative. Like, that's one of the reasons we do this podcast, is because it's a creative outlet. Like, she danced in college. She did the radio station at Tech DeMonte. Like, she's a super creative person. She loves music. So this is you guys would be fast friends because of this.
Last time we heard an entrepreneur said this, he said that, look, he was like, when you open a business, and I saw it as a reflection in us as human beings, maybe you're planning to sell squares, right? But you see that the market is not going to buy a square, and you see that someone is going to buy a circle. It's going to take you a certain time to get into that circle for you to understand that this is your path, or that this is really what you have to be doing. And that doesn't mean that it's going to stay like that forever. It's going to keep changing. And yeah. I see that that's why we have to try many things and see what we like. Because you have to be passionate about. Because when you're passionate about something, people can see that and people will buy it because they want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Right?
100%. 100%. How do you define in that journey? And Ile and I have experienced this ourselves. I think all anybody that's an entrepreneur has. But so how do you define failure then?
Failure is beautiful. If you don't fail, that means you're not doing something right, man. Because a lot of people, we're so used to like getting punished if we fail.
Yeah.
What does that teach you? That you have to be in the safe zone. That's not how life is. The reality is that life is, it can be chaotic. It's very chaotic. And for you to be able to bring order into your life, you have to go through chaos.
Yeah.
And chaos is failure. So failure equals success because you're not failing. You're just learning. But if you can apply that knowledge, you're going to go up. There's no way. There's no negative. Even though like at the time it's so negative because, yeah, we have a problem. We haven't raised money and admin funds. Why? Because the market is not doing good. Why? Because the market fit is there, but we're struggling to raise money. Okay. Oh, well, I'm learning that. And tomorrow, I'm going to come stronger. And I'm going to see this, and I'm going to apply all my knowledge and be like, hey, guys, remember you invested in this little kid that was so green when he entered the tech world? Well, guess what? Now I have a lot of knowledge. Now your money's going to be better. Now we have this mission. It's all about learning. Failure equals learning.
And now that you bring up the Miss Fans subject, tell us a little bit about this project and what are your plans for the reinvention of this platform?
Yeah, so basically my partner and I, Alex, he's 23 years old. He's a very smart guy, created this platform that's called Miss Fans, right? It's a platform for content creators to be able to monetize. Why did we create this platform? Because all of the platforms are mostly made for US and European creators. There's nothing tailored for Latinos. So we wanted to really create tools that Latinos are going to use because we understand the pain points, the regional pain points in Latam. So that's what we wanted to create. Miss Fans is doing really good when it comes to creators. We have over 800 creators in a year. It hasn't been easy because it requires a lot of training. Creators from Mexico and the US have a different mentality. We have different paradigms. In the US, if a creator wants to become a millionaire, they're not afraid to say it. And they go out and they believe in them. And I see that in Mexico, there's a little bit of doubt. I don't know if it's cultural. I don't know what it is, but it has cost us a lot of money to really sit down with a creator. I've sat down with more than 800 creators and tried to explain them and really invest a lot of energy explaining them that, hey, you can make money. Don't expect for the brands to always come and tell you that you're going to get paid 50% of your money when you have an audience and you can start monetizing too. But it's not as easy. It hasn't been easy because it takes a lot of work. And if we want to scale these funds, it's going to require 2 million creators to have a link in bio to really start understanding like, oh, well, maybe this is the way. Maybe I can sell my recipes online. Yeah. Maybe I can start charging my audience, you know? And that has been like the biggest problem. So right now we're trying to see how we're going to do it, how we're going to scale. But it has been a little bit difficult because we haven't been able to raise money because of the market. And a lot of people, to be honest, don't really bet on the creator economy. It's a really hard market.
Talk about that. Because here's part of it. This is not necessarily your story, but in general, my feelings, like maybe part of the Miss Fans story at this moment is you guys are just early, right? Like you're not wrong. You're just early.
Yeah.
And I mean, hey, I've had a startup way back when that literally it was just too early and then didn't have enough money. And because I was too early and didn't have enough money, time ran out. We lost. Somebody else won. They were right. I was right, but they were right and they had money. And so they won, right?
They were aligned by the person in the paper.
And so like Miss Fans, because the concept, if you look at it from a U.S. market standpoint, right, the concept just makes so much sense. So maybe you're just early.
What would the similar United States? Is it like a competitor?
It's like a Beacons or Linktree.
Okay.
But for Latamo.
Okay.
Or Camel. Like you can sell shout outs. You can sell your audios. You can sell subscriptions. Like we decided to put like all the tools in one platform because it's so hard for content creators to create content that the last thing that you want to do is like have them spend time on selling stuff, you know, in different platforms. So you have an all-in-one platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like maybe we are too early and creators don't see it yet because maybe brands, the thing is that this is the other thing. There's a monopoly in Mexico. There's a big monopoly.
I mean, there's probably a bunch of monopolies in Mexico, but why don't you talk about what you mean?
Which one?
Well, this is a thing. Let me tell you. If you want to get to a big creator, you have to go through three people and three people want to charge you for it.
Okay.
Because the creator doesn't trust you yet. Because why? Because you have to spend more money to build a more recognizable brand.
Right.
But it's going to require a lot of money. So the other thing is that, like, for example, I don't know if you saw that Maluma and J Balvin are being part of startups. In the US, the same thing. Creators are co-founders and they understand the value of equity.
Yeah, we don't sell that much in Latam.
No, not as much. And again, starting. To your point, like, right, but even new here too. Like, I was with a guy last weekend that he is helping co-found funds, so venture funds for family offices of what we would call like big name A-list talent, like A-list creators. So they're getting into this space.
That's the other thing. There's no knowledge. So, and I'm telling you this because I know it by first hand. It has cost me a lot of time and a lot of energy to really teach them and tell them, like, look, dude, your creator lifespan is going to be 2 years, 4 years, 5 years. If you want to maintain your fortune or whatever money you're doing or this, you have to diversify yourself and diversify your portfolio. We can make you part of this. And this is how it works. But people are so used to traditional businesses. Like if I spend a dollar, you're going to give me 10 cents back. And
100%.
That, you know, and it's something new. And I'm telling you this because I had to learn that way too. This was all new for me. Raising money, understanding how to raise money, understanding equity and all that.
This was one of my questions here. Like you already told us about your story and how do you became like a expert seller and then how do you entering in the creative industry. But when do you get involved into a startup world to know these terms, entrepreneurship, everything? Where do you get inspired? And because you speak it like very sophisticated terms about entrepreneurship, but your background wasn't that in that line, no? So
basically, I meet my partner Alex through Instagram, right? And he's like, hey, dude, like I say, he's a very smart kid. I really like him. And I saw myself in him because also another thing is that he was born in March 10, you know? So we're like two days apart. And he was like, look, dude, I have this idea for this app. I would like to bring you on board. I guess he really liked my energy. I was zero into the tech industry.
Yeah.
And I was holding it. I was like, oh, I don't know if that's my industry. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a risk because I have nothing and I have nothing to lose. You know? So I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I started learning and I noticed that there was a platform called OnlyFans and creators were making a lot of money. And I was like, why don't we we'll do the same thing for Mexico and Latam for them to be able to have cash payments and all this. But we decided to put all the tools together for creators to be able to monetize. So luckily, we were able to raise money from a friend in Mexico. And he was like, I believe in this idea. I'm going to invest $40,000. Let's push it. And 1 month after, Alex applied to 500 Latam, which is an accelerator in Silicon Valley. And we got approved. Out of 2,000 companies, they selected 10, and we were one of those 10. They gave us $60,000 for 10% of our company, and that gave us money because we were already like dying. We had no money. And then we entered the accelerator program, and it was like three months of a lot of intense meetings, teaching you like all the mistakes, teaching you how to raise money, how to talk to investors. And that's where I learned. It took me those 3 months. It took me more to really understand the information.
Yeah.
But now that I do it like every day, that's what I breathe, startups and creators, I started to learn, but it was completely new to me. Alex was like the one that introduced me into tech.
Yeah, he was the gateway for you. But you learned that at the end of the day, it's just another hustle.
Correct.
I mean, it's just another, and I say that lovingly, like it's just another type of hustle.
Yes, it's at a bigger scale.
Right. And it's different buyers, different sellers, different motivations. But you've learned that really, really well.
Yeah, they really taught me like the value of money, the value of equity, the value of a lot of things, and mainly how to scale a company, because that's not something you learn you do learn on the streets, but it's not that organized. Like you have to do it by try and error, right?
Even though when you are there, like surrounding of these accelerator programs and startups, and even if when you have a company, I was struggling to understand what is grow company? What does it mean? And what are the things that I have to do to make that happen? And actually just what it means, because everybody speaks about a lot of terms. And even though you are there, you're like, okay, yeah, I think I can understand, but I don't know if I'm doing it. It's not an easy thing to understand.
And that's one of the things that I would change. And this is for everyone listening to me. Ask questions, because at the end of the day, it's better to be ignorant for 5 minutes than to be ignorant for the rest of your life. And I was afraid to ask a lot of questions because I thought maybe they're going to look at me wrong. Like I'm part of 500 and I don't know these terms. But at the end of the course, Rob, Ine, I noticed that a lot of people were in my place. They were afraid to ask
questions. Yeah, trust me. Yeah, we've helped facilitate mentorship for like 7,000 entrepreneurs across LATAM in the last 7 years. And I can promise you that almost all of them follow up with us after they get out of the programs that we helped with. And they're literally like, what do I do now? Right. And it's like, how do you not know what to do now? They just spent 6 months telling you what to do. Right. But it's because the way, this is my opinion, I say this publicly all the time, like the way that the industry teaches entrepreneurship and like helps promote it is just woefully broken. Like it's not a let's stickulate or Iram in a classroom for 3 months and teach you a bunch of stuff on a whiteboard and then like go raise money, be successful. Like that's just nonsense. Like the whole system. And by the way, I always have to remind people, like old boomer here, like it didn't always used to be that way. Like that's not, there was no thing like this industry that you guys have gone through. There was no such thing 20 years ago. This is a new marketing machine that feeds people through so prospective investors can find the ones that look like stars. But you guys did it the right way.
Yeah, since it's digital, like it's a different feeling. You know, you're not
there. No, 100%.
It's a whole different feeling.
Yeah. So, all right. So, hey, incredible story. I mean, there were bits today that I didn't know that this is awesome. But it also just, it so makes sense. Like if someone got to know you over a long enough period of time, they would come to learn that you are this person because of all your experiences.
Yes.
Right. Like, I mean, so like you could listen to this podcast and you're going to get a short version of why you are the person you are. But the truth is like you are this person because of every bit of your experiences, which is just incredible. And frankly, it's forget the classroom, forget the rules of startup land and all this stuff. Like what makes great entrepreneurs and what makes good people is just a rich life, full rich life experience and learning your lessons and being humble, which you are, and, you know, believing that failure is a lesson, as you say, instead of, you know, some curse. So super grateful for the conversation. But now Ile wants to turn you into something for the rest of the show.
Yes. Yes, Iram. So, you know, this show is about mentorship. So now you're the mentor of the day and we want you to share with us some piece of advice in whatever you want for our audience so they can get inspired and keep creating.
Yes. I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that lately I've been understanding better is that you need to learn how to sell. Because we're always selling ourselves. And if you know how to sell, you can go sell tomorrow peanuts or you can go sell a $1 billion company. But if you can develop those skills, you're never going to be hungry. You're always going to have a little backup to be like, okay, I know how to sell. Nope. So I think like you really have to learn how to sell yourself in the best way and polish those skills, because then the opportunities are infinite. The other one, don't be afraid to try things. Don't be afraid of what people is going to say about you, because I remember that people used to say that I was crazy. And when our company came out in Forbes, they were like, oh my God, I believe in you so much. So just do crazy stuff, because crazy stuff and like crazy businesses are going to take you far. I heard something from this very rich man in Mexico City. He said, if you want to do something huge, you have to do stupid things. Why? Because you got to be stupid sometimes to do something, to think like, let's think of Elon Musk. He was like, oh, I want a rocket to go up and then come back and park itself, and I want to reuse the same rocket. Maybe someone thought like, damn, this guy is really stupid. He's dumb. And he was able to accomplish it. So do big, stupid things. Yeah, and then, like, just take risk, you know? Like, don't be afraid of failure. Yeah, we are going to fail 100 times. And you're going to be crying, because that happens to me. I cry at nights because I start questioning myself. Am I doing the right thing? God, guide me. What am I doing with my life? Maybe I should just get a job and call it quits. That's what I think sometimes. But I'm like, I don't want to regret it. I want to risk it all. And maybe if I get a job, yeah, it's going to make me happy. And maybe, yeah, I want to make sure that I'm happy and that I'm risking everything that I have. Because like I said, I was born with nothing. I come from nothing. So if I lose it again with all this knowledge, I can make something happen now. I trust myself.
Almost nothing to lose, right? Everything to gain.
Correct.
That's awesome for you. Amazing advice. How do people find you on social media, or how can they connect with you?
Yeah, so one of the social media apps that I use the most is Instagram. It's at I am Iram, Iram with H-I-R-A-M _.
No, thank you. Hey, it was awesome. We can't wait to see what this year holds for you, right? Both in the business, with the company, then whatever it becomes, but mostly just to see what life holds for you in this next year, and frankly, in this next 5 to 10 years of your life, because I know you're going to do, and you already are doing amazing things, but I know you're going to do more, and hopefully today your story that you share just inspires someone else to believe in themselves when they're having those doubts. So thank you for that, buddy.
Yes. More than anything, I really want to hope that I inspire young people.
That's it.
Because I want to be the person I needed when I was young.
Oh, yes.
There you go. We're closing on that. That's awesome. Iram, thank you, buddy. Have an awesome day. Hile, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and Guadalajara, produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City, and promoted by the content team at Growth Hacks in Tijuana, Mexico. You can always find and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today on Instagram. If you'd like to connect with our hosts, you can find them on Twitter or Instagram at I am Rob Ryan or at Ileana JAF. Gracias, thank you, and we'll see you next time.